Welcome to the Shir in Svarno, Parshas Pekudei. The Shir this evening is sponsored by Stacey Nachum Siegel and family in memory of Rabbi Zev Siegel, whose 13th yard site is tonight. And Neshama should have an aliyah. Should see much nachas ruach, mitar mitzvahs, and maisim tovim that the entire family is involved in. We have an unusual situation tonight. Don't be alarmed. But Baruch Hashem, we've managed to go through, if not every single piece in the Svarno and Parshas Pekudei, certainly the great majority of them. There are a few pieces we didn't do in Parshas Vayakel, but again, most of the, it's not fair to say major, not major, but you know, many of the major topics in the Svarno, Parshas Vayakel, Pekudei, we covered over the past couple of days. So everyone's getting very excited. They're thinking, oh wow, maybe we have a free period, something like that, we can have recess. There's no recess from Torah. So I thought that it would be an opportunity for us to take a look at one of the other chiburim, one of the other essays of the Svarno, which we made reference to a few weeks back, the essay entitled Kavanos HaTorah, the intent of the Torah. The Svarno wrote a very long hakdama, an introduction to his commentary on Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which he entitled Kavanos HaTorah, where the Svarno lays out really what could be described as ta'amei ha-mitzvos, the reasons behind the various mitzvos given by the Torah. And in particular, he spends a lot of time trying to explain the symbolic significance of the Mishkan, the significance of the Karbonos, and really gets into a level of detail which is quite unusual. Certainly there were many Mefarshim who spoke about the reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Karbonos in general terms, but to speak specifically about the details of why there's this halacha in the Karbonos, why there's that halacha in the Karbonos, is something you don't find all that frequently. Later than the Svarno, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, spent a lot of time in his commentary trying to explain the various details of the Karbonos, but again, it's somewhat unusual. We're not going to go through the whole Kavanos HaTorah tonight, we have to dive in Meir at some point, but I did want to just share, because we have this opportunity tonight, just to share some of the thoughts of the Kavanos HaTorah. And again, if you look at a standard Chamisha Chumshei Torah in Breishis, right before the beginning, right before the Chumash, they usually print the Hakdamos, the introductions of the various different Mefarshim around the Torah, and the Kavanos HaTorah typically is printed there. So first I just want to share something from the Kavanos HaTorah, which touches on issues which we've mentioned before. The Svarno talks about them in his commentary on the Chumash itself. To some extent we were just talking about it right before the davening, right before Mincha started. But he throws in a couple of interesting points, which I don't think we discussed directly in earlier Shiurim. So in the Kavanos HaTorah, this is the beginning of Perek Vav, the sixth chapter, and he writes as follows. Uvechein roi lehisbonin. One should contemplate the following. Ki omnom kodem chet ha'egel, tekef achar matan Torah, prior to the sin of the golden calf, right after the Torah was given, Lo hayu Yisrael tzrichin l'chol eilu l'man hashros shchinoso b'socham. Klal Yisrael had no need of the Mishkan, of its kelim, of its various vessels. They had no need of set karbonos in order to bring the Shechina, God's presence, down into their midst. V'lo nitztavu al asiyas Mishkan v'kelo v'kohan av v'mesharsav, v'lo al shum karbon l'chol v'as tzibur ha'yachid klal, Zulosi achar maise ha'egel. The Jewish people were not given the commandment to build the Mishkan, to build its various vessels, about Kohanim, Levim, the whole thing. They were not told that there would be any concept of an obligatory carbon. Not an obligatory carbon of the community, not an obligatory carbon of the individual. Zulosi achar maise ha'egel. All of that was given only after the Chet HaEgel took place. So in other words, what you have to say over here, and again, we were talking about this a few weeks back, is that according to the Svarno, the Torah is presenting some details out of chronological order. Clearly, if you read the Chumash, so Parshios Truma Tetzaveh describe how God gave the mitzvah to build the Mishkan, and it talks about the Bigdei Kohuna, the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, of the regular Kohanim. And it's all in Parshas Kisiso, where the Torah talks about the terrible sin of the Egel Azov, of the golden calf. So one gets the impression, and again, many Mepharshim do understand this way, that the Mishkan was a lechatchilo. The Mishkan was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, independent of anything that happened with the golden calf. After all, it was given in advance of the golden calf. Sfaro apparently understands that that's not how we're supposed to read the Parshios. Apparently they're printed, not printed, it's not a printing error, but in others, the Torah, for whatever reason, decides to present them in a non-chronological order, which we sometimes find in Chumash. And we have to understand, says the Sfarno, that the whole revelation of the Mishkan, the need for a Mishkan, that's all a response to the Chet HaEgel, to the sin of the golden calf. In theory, had there not been a golden calf, we wouldn't have needed a Mishkan. So we've touched on this before. The Sfarno says this towards the beginning of Parshas Kisisa. But he elaborates a little bit more on this point over here, and I want to just share some of his elaboration and perhaps comment on his elaboration. Ka'amnor is Yisbarach. Where do we find reference to this idea that there would not have been a Mishkan and a set system of karbanos were it not for the Chet HaEgel? So the Sfarno says it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chof Beis. Kilo dibarti es avoseichem velod sivisim b'yom hotzio som eretz Mitzrayim al divrei olav ozovach. Says the Novi in Yirmiyahu, Hashem says to the Jewish people, I did not speak to your forefathers, I did not command them on the day on which I took them out of Mitzrayim, I did not give them any commandments regarding karbonos, regarding an ola, a burnt offering, or a zevach, a karbon shlamim, which would be consumed by the person bringing the karbon. And Mepharshim tried to understand that pasuk, because the pasuk on the surface sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael, you know, I never set up a system, I never commanded you to bring karbonos, which clearly doesn't seem to be true. You know, we have this book we're going to start reading next week called Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra spends a lot of time telling us how we're obligated to bring karbanos. So what on earth is that pasuk in Yirmiyahu talking about? So some of Farshim focus on the fact that the pasuk says, I didn't command you, b'yom hotzio som eretz Mitzrayim. I didn't command you on the day on which you left Mitzrayim. Meaning, of course I commanded you to bring karbanos, but it wasn't the top of the agenda. You know, there's no mitzvah in the Aseres Hadibros about bringing karbanos. It wasn't the top of the agenda. We'll get to it. So in other words, the idea that Yirmiyahu is conveying is, of course, there's a mitzvah to bring karbanos, but you have to put it in context. It wasn't the first thing I told you right after you left Mitzrayim. So, again, in the context that Yirmiyahu Hanavi is talking about, if you think that you can be awful and rotten to your fellow person and, you know, totally ignore the mitzvah bein adam l'chaveiro and somehow make God happy by just bringing a karbon, you're sadly mistaken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvahs about how we're supposed to deal with other people before, you know, he gave us the mitzvah to bring karbanos. So it's a question of what's not, are there karbanos or are there not karbanos, but it's a question of what's the hierarchy in terms of importance. But the Sfarno is understanding this pasuk in a different way. He's saying as follows. The pasuk is saying, when you left Mitzrayim, in other words, plan A, before there was ever such a thing as a Chet HaEgel, when you left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never commanded you to bring karbanos. Meaning, in the original plan, there were going to be no obligatory karbanos. And I'll stress that word, obligatory. There would have been no obligatory karbanos in the original plan when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Because what would have been, he continues, Aval hodiyam oz tekef, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them right away meaning right after Matan Torah, she'enam tzrichim l'chol eile, that Klal Yisrael do not require all of these karbanos to come close to Hashem, l'shum em tzoi, they don't need any means, any intermediary in order to they don't need anything special besides themselves to to bring God's presence into their midst. V'lo hischayvu l'shum zevach v'lo mishkan v'kelov. When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, there was no such thing as an obligation to bring korbanos. They did not have to build a mishkan. They could have just found God's presence wherever and without an obligatory system of korbanos. So the Sfarno underscores there was no obligatory system of korbanos, but then he goes on to add the following. V'amar she'im yisnadvu olos u'shlamim. Now the fact that there are no obligatory korbanos doesn't mean that Klal Yisrael couldn't voluntarily bring korbanos. Right? If they wanted to, they could bring korbanos. And here, by the way, you know, the Sfarno is parting, seems to be parting ways with a very famous and very debated comment that the Rambam makes in Mar Nevuchim. The Rambam Mar Nevuchim, when he talks about the korbanos, says that the Ribono Shel Olam instituted the system of korbanos because the Jewish people were steeped in Avodah Zarah, they were steeped in idolatry, and the system of korbanos av Hashem was a way of weaning the Jewish people away from serving Avodah Zarah via korbanos. So the Right, so this Rambam is... tons and tons of ink has been spilled trying to understand the Rambam, because the implication of the Rambam seems to be the whole concept of korbanos is a concession. Really, we should just, you know, commune with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah, through, you know, other means, Talmud Torah, you know, but the fact that we have to go and slaughter animals in order to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a concession. Really, that was just meant to wean us away from Avodah Zarah. So if that's what the Rambam is saying, so the questions are, you know, so many that it's hard to count them. The Avos brought korbanos. According to Chazal, Adam HaRishon brought a korban. You know, Noach brought a korban. More than that, our expectation is that when the third Beis HaMikdash is built, we're going to bring korbanos as well. And by the way, who talks about that? The Rambam in his, you know, all through the Yad HaChazaka, all through the Mishnah Torah. Yeah, right. So in other words, there are very positive things about the korbanos. You don't get the impression, looking anywhere in our Jewish literature, that the korbanos are a concession. They seem to be, you know, an aspect of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to draw close to Him. Again, they don't apply throughout history. That's true, okay. But, you know, in an ideal world, of course we would have korbanos. That seems to be the simple reading of all of our Torah literature. So where did the Rambam get this idea from? So one pasuk that the Rambam quotes is this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the Navi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, when you left Mitzrayim, I didn't say anything to you about how you had to bring korbanos. Which could be read as, the original plan was, maybe you don't really need korbanos, and this was really more of a concession. You know, the korbanos are not such a lechatchila, they're a concession to the fact that people were bringing korbanos to Avodah Zarah. But the Sfarno is parting ways with that Rambam. It's very, very important to emphasize that. The Sfarno is not saying at all that the whole concept of korbanos is a concession. What the Sfarno is saying is that obligatory korbanos are a concession. Not a concession to Avodah Zarah, but a concession to our lowered spiritual stature after Chet HaEgel. Prior to Chet HaEgel, we were able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many, many more different avenues. We didn't need a central location to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we could bring korbanos on a voluntary basis. We could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu voluntarily. We didn't need an obligatory system of korbanos. And that's what the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is saying. Ki lo tzivisi, v'lo dibarti es avoseichem, v'lo tzivisim, al divrei olav ozevach, v'lo tzivisim al divrei olav ozevach. I didn't command them to bring korbanos, but I certainly allowed them to bring korbanos, and more than that, I even favored the bringing of korbanos, just on a voluntary basis, as opposed to on an obligatory basis. But the concept of voluntary korbanos is ancient, is sacred, and there's absolutely, that's not a concession at all. That's a lechatchila. So he says, the Omar, in fact, says the Svarno, you fit this into the psukim at the end of Parashas Yisro. Im yisnadvu olos u'shlamim, should the people choose to bring korbanos, which they have every right to, and it's considered to be a positive thing, yaspik mizbach adama, It's sufficient to have a simple altar, which is filled up with earth, which is the pasuk at the end of Parshas Yisro. Mizbach Adama Tassali V'Zavachto Allah V'Salosecho V'Yeshlom Echo. If you want to bring karbanos, which is great, you don't have to go to a mishkan, you don't have to go to Beis HaMikdosh, you can go in your backyard, you could build an altar. Here on the east side, you'd probably have to clear it with the co-op, so you clear it with the co-op, you build a mizbeach in the backyard, and you bring karbanos, and if you want to do that voluntarily, that's great. That's totally, totally great. I mean, if you think about it, the pasuk describes at the end of Mishpatim, besides the avos, right, who obviously brought korbanos, the pasuk describes at the end of Mishpatim how, in conjunction with Matan Torah, right, either before Matan Torah, right after Matan Torah, different opinions of the Mefarsha, but in conjunction with Matan Torah, the Jewish people brought korbanos at Har Sinai. Vayishlachas nare b'nei Yisrael vayalu olos. Right, that's the pasuk says at the end of Mishpatim. So, you know, the concept of karbanos seems to be a sacred one, but it was voluntary. Post Chet HaEgel, the system of karbanos became obligatory. So based on the Sfarno, by the way, you can answer a question, which is a beautiful question, which is raised by the Stipler Gaon, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, in his Sefer Birkas Peretz. It's a beautiful Sefer that Stipler wrote many, many volumes. The Stipler wrote a volume on Chumash called Birkas Peretz, and in the beginning of his comments to the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, the Stipler points out that it's interesting that the psukim at the beginning of Vayikra start off talking about voluntary korbanos. The psukim in the very beginning of Vayikra talk about an olas nedava. They talk about when a person volunteers to bring a burnt offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's only later on in the parasha that the parasha starts speaking about bringing karbanos which are obligatory. You know, for instance, a person sins, so he has to bring a karban chatos. Right? That's not a voluntary karban, that's an obligatory karban. So Stipler asked the question, you know, it's a little bit odd that the Torah should begin its discussion of karbanos with voluntary karbanos. Right? I'm a teacher. So if I got up in class the very first day and I said, you know, for extra credit, you can do a special paper. Extra credit? Don't talk about extra credit. Tell me what I need to do. There's a midterm. There's a final. You know, tell me about the things I need to do. Don't tell me about the things that are extra credit. Right? So when the Torah HaKadosha speaks to Klal Yisrael about the karbanos, why does it start with the extra credit karbanos? Why does it start off with the voluntary karbanos as opposed to starting with the obligatory karbanos? So the Stipler says an answer like this. The Stipler says that the point that the Torah is trying to impress upon us is that a person needs a healthy sense of volunteerism. If a person goes about his avodas Hashem just thinking, you know, what does God want from me now? Let me just check off the boxes and then I'm done. If he views his service of God as simply being a way of fulfilling obligations, so that's better than nothing. It's a lot better than nothing, but it's still incomplete. A person shouldn't feel that he's just fulfilling obligations and checking off boxes when he serves the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person should feel this sense of volunteerism. A ruach nedivus is the way that the Stipler puts it. A person should feel, I'm self-motivated to want to do whatever I... What can I possibly do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You know, there's the guy who comes to shul and says, you know, okay, how much are they going to charge me to be a member? Maybe I could bargain it down. And this, the guy comes to shul and says, you know, what can I do? You know, ask not what your shul could do for you. Ask what you could do for your shul. There's not an advertisement. But, you know, but if you want to take it as one, it's okay. There's that ruach nedivus, that spirit of generosity, that spirit of volunteerism, which the Torah wants to encourage. So says the Stipler, that's why the Torah in Sefer Vayikra starts off talking about the voluntary karbanos before it talks about the obligatory karbanos, because we don't start with just what we have to do. We start with what we want to do. That's the Stipler. Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying, well, I didn't catch it. So. Ah, okay. Right, you have to bring it back. Right. Right. So I think that, it's not exactly the same formulation as the stipler, but I think it's similar. In other words, don't talk about, I got to do this, I have to repair this, I have to, talk about the lofty aspirations that a person should have for being a spiritual person. And those lofty aspirations are associated with the voluntary korbanos to a much greater extent than, oh gosh, I got to bring a korban again, that a person should reach for the heavens. But according to the Svarno, you could answer the stipler's question in a very different way, and maybe even a simpler way. Again, what's the stipler's question? Why does the Torah in Sefer Vayikra start off with the voluntary korbanos as opposed to the obligatory korbanos? The Svarno might answer very, very simply, because the voluntary korbanos historically came first. That was the original idea of korbanos. When the Ribbono Shel Olam originally conveyed the idea of korbanos to Klal Yisrael before the Chetah Egel, the idea of the korbanos was entirely about bringing voluntary korbanos. The obligatory korbanos was an add-on. That came later. That came after the Chetah Egel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, look, I see it's not enough just to say if you feel like it, bring a korban. I see that we're going to have to put a system in place, in order to get people to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Sefer Vayikra just reflects the historical development of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commandments regarding korbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally instituted voluntary korbanos. So that's how Sefer Vayikra starts off also, describing the voluntary korbanos and only moving on to the obligatory korbanos after that point. Right? So that's an important point, which I think the Svarno is bringing out over here. That the system of voluntary korbanos was always part of the Torah's vision for how we would relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What changed post Chetah Egel was the notion of obligatory korbanos. With that in mind, I wonder, actually, if we could take this idea from the Svarno and attempt to plug it back into the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim. Right? We started off by saying that the Svarno and the Rambam are not taking the same perspective, but maybe we can suggest that maybe that's what the Rambam meant as well. When the Rambam says that, the whole idea of korbanos was to wean the people away from Avodah Zarah, maybe you can suggest that he meant that in terms of the obligatory korbanos, and as per the idea of the Svarno, that after the people sinned with Avodah Zarah, they built an Egel Hazav, they did something which arguably was falling into the clutches of Avodah Zarah, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have to wean them away from Avodah Zarah. I'm going to create a whole system of obligatory korbanos. But the notion of voluntary korbanos, the Rambam would say, is a function of basic Avodas Hashem and is not a way, not intended solely as a way of weaning the people away from Avodah Zarah. And if that's the case, then perhaps some of the questions against the Rambam, the Avos brought korbanos, were brought by Matan Torah, etc., the same way that the Svarno could answer those questions, maybe what the Svarno was saying is really what the Rambam has in mind as well when he expresses this very controversial view in the Mor Nevuchim. Maybe yeah, maybe no. You like it, fine. You don't like it, see your money back at the end of the session today. So he continues, the Svarno, that originally, V'omar b'chol ha'mokom asher azkir eshemi, Avo Eilecha Uveirach Ticha. Right? We mentioned the Svarno before. The Pasuk at the end of Yisro says, in any place where my name is mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. Which the Svarno said in a pre-Chetah Egel reality meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need a Mishkan, he didn't need a Beis HaMikdash, a central location. You don't have to come to a special place in order to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any place where my name is mentioned, I will come to you and bless you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, and the full intensity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina, can be accessed anywhere. So before we gave the example, tongue in cheek, of building a Mizbeach in the backyard in the co-ops, and you can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through that, anywhere, in the most mundane and secular of places. Again, not to cast aspersions on the backyards and the co-ops, But, you know, it doesn't have to be a very holy place at all. So if you read this, you know, you might take that, you might walk away with that impression if you read the Svarna on Parshas Yisro alone. When you read the Kavanah Satara, he throws in a few words that make it clear that what I said just now, tongue-in-cheek, is not entirely true. He says as follows, B'chol makom asher azkir eshemi, right, the Pasuk says, in any place where my name is mentioned, so comments the Svarna, V'hu kol makom shikare be'emes beis Elokim. This means any place which can truly be called the house of God, ki'inyon bote midrashos vizulasam, such as bote medrash and the like. Meaning, the Svarno, it's not entirely correct to say that the Svarno would say, you know, even in a pre-cheta ego reality, that you could access HaKadosh Baruch Hu anywhere, 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 anywhere. Go into your backyard, you could build a mizbeach, and connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not so fast. It's not as simple as all of that. You still need a place which is set aside as a place of Kedusha. And even in the pre-cheto ego reality, maybe they didn't need a Mishkan, maybe they didn't need a Beis HaMikdash, but you still need shuls and Batei Medrash. That would have been the ideal pre-cheto ego. There are still holy places that are set aside for connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, even the concept of a Bama, right? Even the concept of a altar outside of the Beis HaMikdash is at least a place that's set aside for serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's not as simple as just saying anywhere in the world can be a conduit for connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, it can on some level, but there's still going to be a concept, even pre-cheto ego, of places that have an added degree of Kedusha, a shul, a Beis Medrash, you know, something of that nature. You know, that would be the place where we would be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in a pre-cheto ego reality. So that's an important point, which is not mentioned in the Svarno's commentary on Yisrael, but comes out in the Kavanas HaTorah as well. I just want to mention one last point. See if we can mention one last point. Okay, I want to leave over one last point for some future point in time when we have the opportunity to discuss it. Till then, everyone is invited certainly to take a look in the Kavanas HaTorah in the beginning of the Mikraos Gedolos. Again, a beautiful, beautiful essay by the Svarno where he deals with many of these questions. Maybe we'll have the opportunity as the weeks go by to come back to the Kavanas HaTorah and to learn more of the beautiful ideas that he presents over there. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Rav